call this meeting to order. I do believe we have a quorum. We have a quorum. Would someone like to motion the minutes?
Someone.
Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Welcome, Representative Hillstrom. Would you like to introduce your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 989 be recommended to pass and be referred to the K-12 Finance Division.
Okay. Representative Hillstrom moves that House File 987 be recommended. 989 be recommended to pass and be referred to K-12 Education Finance Division. Tell us about your bill.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 989 would allow open enrollment students to become immediately eligible to participate in all school activities. The Minnesota State High School League passed a rule on Friday that would punish open enrollment students by forcing them to sit out at their new school for varsity sports for 1 year after open enrolling. The State High School League will not give you facts in how large of a problem this is. They will give you a few glaring examples and show those that, examples of, and then infer that all kids who open enroll and play sports are open enrolling for sports only. I understand the problem. Some coaches are recruiting kids to play for high-powered teams, and the high school league cannot prove that they are doing so. So because they have been unable to punish any coach in the last 5 years, they have decided to take to punishing children who open enroll. I think that we ought to focus on the adult behavior here. Children who open enroll to play sports at a high level at some point have contact with a coach. A child who wants to play is not going to risk the fact that they might not make the team or they may not have the opportunity to play. And so at some point there is a conversation between the child and the adult. And I think we ought to be focusing on the adult behavior here and not just on the child. Recruiting children for sports is currently against the rules, and I think that that is where the proper place for punishment should be. The Minnesota State High School League rightly punishes other behavior, for example, for drugs and alcohol. If you commit an illegal activity and you participate in drinking, underage drinking, or doing drugs, you have to sit out. That punishment is approximately 2 weeks or a couple of games. That behavior is illegal, and that punishment is consistent with state law in that the behavior is a crime, and the state does sanction that behavior as well. The Minnesota State High School League is now saying that open enrollment is that bad behavior, and they are going to punish even more. Someone would have to sit out for a year, and when that behavior actually is legal under Minnesota state statute and actually encouraged. So I believe that this behavior undermines the state law of encouraging school choice in public schools, and that we should stop the State High School League from punishing behavior that the legislature has deemed a fundamental right. And with that, Mr. Chair, I have a few testifiers.
Thank you for that opening remarks. Would you bring your testifiers forward?
Mr. Chair, first is Superintendent Keith Lester. He represents the Brooklyn Center School District, and this is one of the first contacts that I had when I started in this process. Brooklyn Center has a number of open enrollment students. Mr. Lester.
Thank you.
Thank you for your coming. Would you state your name for the record? And I only ask that if you have questions or anything, please state them to the chair, and then we'll follow through.
I'll do that. Thank you. My name is Keith Lester. I'm Superintendent of Schools in Brooklyn Center, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Brooklyn Center, I'm prejudiced, of course, but Brooklyn Center is a great little school district. We're two buildings, 1,700 students. Our elementary school has been designated a world IB World School. We're on the road to do great things in our school district. But almost 30% of the students in that district come from open enrollment. And that's critical to us. I mean, we need those students because that's our only source of revenue. We're also in statutory operating debt. And with that means that revenue is an even more difficult thing. And as we look to try to improve further, we need to generate more revenue, not less. An example I have given is this past winter sports season, we had 34 students out total for all of our winter sports. 18 of them were open enrolled. Now, not all of them were in 10, 11, and 12. I won't try to blow any smoke there, but 18 of those students were open enrolled. My concern is that one, students won't come, which is certainly a revenue thing, but maybe more important is the students come to our district because we're a little district. They want to get out of the big city thing, and yes, they might even want to play basketball, for example, but they're coming for the education and the opportunity. They're probably, and Brooklyn Center has not had a lot of state championship teams lately, they're probably not coming for that. They're coming to be in the school, and if they can play basketball, they might have a better chance of being able to play on a team because we're a smaller district, and so they have that opportunity. My concern is that those students, one, won't come, and two, when they don't come, we lose revenue and we lose the opportunity even to field a sport, whatever the activity may be. And those are the most critical. I've spoken with Mr. Stead, and he kindly came to my office, and he's been very cooperative with me, and he expressed that we can get waivers for all of these different examples of kids who come because they want the smaller school and all of these. That being said, I don't know that it'll be you'll be inundated, but that'll be a lot of kids to drive down to the State High School League to get a waiver on. My question is, and I spoke briefly with Roger Aronson this morning, and that is maybe the ones that need to get the waiver are the ones that people are suspected of cheating, and have them have to go down. If it is a smaller number, then let the smaller number go down and address it that way. However, my concerns as a superintendent in Brooklyn Center is that we have a potential for losing students, and we have a potential for students not being able to take part in activities because we don't have enough kids to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chair, I did have handouts. Do you have them in your folders or okay, great. The other thing that I have is I have an email that came to me from the Osseo School District. Now, the Osseo School District has stated that Mr. Stead also came to see them and that they could be exempted through some of the next rulemaking authority, and they sent me an email saying that in the event that they are fixed through the next round of exemptions, they don't have an issue. But I think it's something that this committee would care particularly about. As you know, the Osseo School District is the fifth largest school district in the state, and they are a racially isolated, segregated school district. What happens is they are a 7-9 school for junior high, and then they are a 10-12 school for the high school. And so students who want to, at the end of ninth grade, all of the students in the Osseo School District will get to choose which of the three high schools they want to go to because they are attempting to do voluntary desegregation. Now, each and every one of the students that choose not to go to their resident school would be staying in the same school district, but they would have been affected by this rule. Now, again, if the exemptions that are passed in April take care of that, that would eliminate this issue. But again, this is something that this committee should pay particular attention to, and here's a few emails that you can take a look at as well from the committee. With me is Mr. Nathan.
Could you identify yourself for the record?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, and thank you for recognizing the importance of elected representatives of the people, not just elected representatives of schools, but elected representatives of the people of the state, paying attention to this issue. My name is John Nathan. I direct the Center for School Change at the University of Minnesota's Humphrey Institute. We have three children, all of whom have participated in interscholastic athletics in public schools in the state. I've also been a public school administrator and teacher, and I've also participated in high school and college sports. I want to make four basic points. First, on a bipartisan basis, the people of Minnesota, through their elected representatives, the state legislature, decided in the 1980s that it was important to let low-income kids and more affluent kids have similar opportunities in terms of public school choice. That was embodied in legislation that was landmark legislation called open enrollment. Some of you are probably familiar with it. Some of you have been working on it for a number of years. there was a basic principle in that legislation, which was that we're not going to give more opportunities for wealthy kids than for poor kids. And unfortunately, I believe that this legislation reverses that trend. This legislation says if you are affluent enough to move from X District X to District Y, you don't lose any eligibility. It's only the kids who cannot afford to move, whose families cannot afford literally to move from one district to another district, who would lose eligibility in the receiving district. And frankly, that is what propelled former Democratic Governor Rudy Perpich to support this, that he thought it was really important that more affluent families not have more opportunities. He recognized the opportunities that were available to wealthy families, and he thought it was important for low-income families to have fewer, as many opportunities whenever possible as wealthier families. Now, sometimes things change, and I think it's certainly appropriate to take a look at legislation from time to time. But one of the problems that we've had in this conversation is that there's a considerable amount of misinformation, and I want to talk about that. We have other people such as Kwame McDonald, who's been deeply involved in public school sports and academic activities for many years in the state, who want to talk about it, as well as Sean Kershaw, a psychologist, and some other folks. So I'll be brief. When I said misinformation, I've given you a packet of information which includes an article from one of the state's largest newspapers, a front-page story that suggests, based on information from the State High School League, that there were 2,300 students who switched schools under open enrollment in 2005-2006. You'll see that's the second page of the handout. It was the front page on February 2nd, and it was in bold. You'll see on the next page that after some of us contacted the State Department of Education, because those numbers seemed off, and said something seems off, that the Star Tribune a couple of weeks later corrected the numbers. And yet I've been on a variety of radio programs. I've written a number of columns about this over the last 3 weeks. And over and over and over again, these figures are quoted at me, that there are huge numbers of kids using open enrollment to participate in sports. Now, I think we need to talk about what is actually happening. And as the State Department acknowledged, the number 2,300 students is not right in terms of losing open enrollment last year. The actual number, as noted from the correction, was more than 14,000. Moreover, the overall number of kids using in our high schools last year was 295,000. 295,000 kids. We were told 20 years ago when open enrollment passed that there would be huge movement. There hasn't been huge movement. 14,000 is a tiny percentage, about 5% of the high school kids in the state. And then how many kids actually used open enrollment to participate in sports? Again, this story suggested it was a very high percentage. Where the figures are, according to the State High School League, that there were 765 kids who participated in high school sports, and some of them, like the superintendent who you just heard from, were youngsters who moved from one district to another district, a larger district to a smaller district. There are rural districts that have been pleased that some kids have moved in. So I think we need to get the facts. Fact number two, and just incidentally, let's assume that all the kids, the 765 kids that the State High School League participated in extracurriculars, which include debate, drama, speech, music, and sports. Let's assume that they all were using sports, which the league acknowledges they weren't. 765 divided by 295,000 works out to 3/1,000ths. 3/1,000ths of the high school kids in the state. But in previous discussions, some people said, well, even one or two kids moving, that's a problem. And we've had front page stories in both the large Twin Cities daily newspapers over the last week saying, well, you know, St. Paul Central, let's put it right out there. St. Paul Central is a problem. We've got this all-star team. And yet the high school league has acknowledged that those are kids who all live in St. Paul. So they're not using open enrollment. Open enrollment is a piece of legislation adopted by the legislature that allows kids to move from one district to another district. And that leads me to say, as a former public school administrator and as a person whose kids have participated in public schools, that there is a large thing that's not being talked about. And that is that there are certain private and parochial schools that attract kids from a vast area. And the high school league tried to come to some accommodations. I give the high school league credit for trying to work out some kind of boundaries in terms of attendance, and the private and parochial schools said, no, we don't want to do that. And so they don't have any attendance boundaries. So we have certain private and parochial schools that have kids year after year after year who are all-stars. We all know their names, and it isn't just the ones in Minneapolis and St. Paul. There are examples around the state. some in the recent hockey tournament. Year after year after year, they have all-star teams. Where is the effort to try to challenge some of these? I work in northern Minnesota a good deal, and there's a certain school district which shall go nameless, which is well known because there's a large company, and year after year, certain people seem to get new jobs in that district, in this particular corporation, and that seems to work out really well for their hockey team. Year after year after year, this happens. I completely agree there ought to be accountability, but I think this fundamental accountability ought to be on the adults. Finally, I think it's important for the legislature to ask themselves, are kids community property? My sense is they're not. I think we have a fundamental disagreement here. I understand, having had a number of phone calls from a variety of people around the state, that there are some people who deeply resent the fact that a kid from one district will transfer into another district and take that youngster's place. And I get that. And I've had kids, our own kids have been displaced on teams because somebody better moved in. And I have to say, it doesn't make me happy, but that is life. There's nothing guaranteed about having a spot. One of the rationales for the high school league's proposed change, the change they have adopted last week, is to, quote, protect school programs from losing students who have established an identity as an athlete or fine arts participant. I'd suggest to you that the role of state policy is to try to increase graduation requirements. The role of state policy is to try to increase the percentage of students who do well. We know that participating in debate, drama, speech, journalism, other extracurricular activities is a very positive thing for kids. I salute the state league for initially proposing that kids in debate and drama and journalism be included in this and then withdrawing that. I think that's progress. But the central question I want to ask you, is there really a rationale to dramatically change the state law, which has been enormously popular in this state, for a few hundred kids who represent less than 3/1,000s? And is it really appropriate to reverse this on the basis of these handful of anecdotes, which I acknowledge exist? Shouldn't we be paying more attention to the adults? And is it really state policy that it's important to protect school programs from losing students? My own sense as a parent is that it's important for us to protect the family initiatives. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nathan?
Do you have a question?
No. We'll hold off questions and then
go ahead. Next, I have the Department of Education here.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. My name is Chaz Anderson. I'm the Deputy Education Commissioner. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm here on behalf of the Commissioner of Education. The Commissioner supports Representative Hillstrom's bill. She believes, and the Department believes, that these rules undermine our school choice laws and our desegregation rule. As Joe Nathan talked about and others, this is from our student enrollment system that we receive from school districts. Only 765 students utilized, of those that open enrolled, actually a total of 14,485 open enrolled in grades 9 through 12, and only 765 students actually applied to participate in any high school league activity, which includes activities beyond sports. The real issue here, we believe, is enforcement by the high school league. We would encourage that these situations are enforced rather than having broad-based rules enacted. And the commissioner and the department encourages the subcommittee to adopt this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, Representative Hills.
I believe Kwame McDonald would like to be next.
Welcome, sir. How are you? Please state your name for the record.
Yes, I'm Kwame McDonald, St. Paul resident, former occupant of an office in this building, and I didn't know it had six floors. I also am thought of as a youth and education advocate. I'm the co-chair of the African American Leadership Education Committee in St. Paul, and I need to say that I was honored to have been asked to serve on the Minnesota State High School Advisory Committee on the transfer rule. I'm not proud of my role or non-role on that committee, but after we had our meetings and after the die was cast, I began to talk to my neighbors and kids, students, and others, and found out that I had allowed something to happen that I should have at least been vocally protesting. You know, I don't like bringing up the race question, but schools have been doing this all along. Many of our young black students have left city schools to play in suburban schools, and nothing was ever said. Now, all of a sudden, mainly 2005, when Percy Wade led Bloomington Jefferson to the state championship, the rumbling started. And then as people transferred to Central High School, it became very loud, much louder in terms of protests of people about these girls going to a school. Now, incidentally, the St. Paul Central situation, each and every player on that team lives in the Central attendance area. I'm wondering why they went to the other schools in the first place to make them need to come back home. But they did do that. It not only affects black boys and their families, but it seems to me that the onslaught has come against black women. And I have more recently just been an advocate of black women. I see these young ladies, beautiful, wonderful, talented, good students, being accosted by people who don't know them and that they don't know. It's not easy to play on a team when you know everybody's against you. And these young ladies did that, and they won 32 games without a loss all year. There were some flaws in the procedure, in the committee procedure, which I did not bring to Dave's attention or anyone, and I should have, and I apologize for that. But there should have been public hearings on the question. There also should have been more people of African, Asian, Indian, and Latino descent on the committee. Also, more women and more parents. Because again, it might just be happenstance. But the fact is, it's two girls' teams that were most attacked. That's St. Paul Central and Bloomington Jefferson. I won't name the schools who have made a history of doing this, getting black athletes to go to suburban schools to play basketball. I won't name them. They know who they are. Now, 10 of the 12 students who are on the state championship basketball team at Central are black young women. Four of the students will be graduating next year, and it looks like Central's going to have a good team again. It seems that that neighborhood where all these kids come from and attend Central have habit of conceiving and rearing children who are great athletes. Joe Maurer is one who raised in that community. His mother, Teresa, was on the 1976 St. Paul Central championship basketball team. And in 79, Hall of Famer Linda Roberts, and an employee of the Minnesota State High School League, Lisa Lismore, came from that community and played for Central and their championship team. And I think the other thing about the waiting a year, the kids that this would harm most would be the kids I'm most interested in. And we would lose a lot of them. Sometimes basketball, football, baseball, track, the arts are the only things that keep these kids interested in school. And if they're not able to participate for a year, I'm afraid that they'll end up in places like Totem Town and juvenile detention centers. So I really, as much, well, let me put it another way. And sometimes people say I'm too sensitive. Well, I've had 75 years experience in this country and seeing the racism that goes on. When the rule was put in, I didn't have as big a problem with it as I do now, as I know that many of my friends are getting all kinds of negative comments about the black teams, that they shouldn't be playing. Somebody said, even is alleged to have said, why should they be able to beat our kids? And those kinds of things. So I didn't raise the race question. I'm responding to it as it's been raised by other advocates of other children.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. While the next testifier comes up, I just want to make it clear as well. You know, the teams that we seem to be having trouble that people are talking about the most are basketball, football, hockey, and I've even heard wrestling raised. But I want you to understand that this rule even affects the sports that everybody gets to play. It affects cross-country running. It affects all the teams that that anyone can participate in as well.
Welcome. Could you say your name for the record?
Good morning. My name is Kate Toll, and I'm an active parent in the Minneapolis School District. I have a daughter who's a ninth grader who did this year transfer from a charter school in St. Paul, actually in the beginning of the year, the beginning of her ninth grade year. And she had already swam for the public school, South High, through a collaborative agreement with her charter. It was a very collaborative agreement that we worked out, and indeed we paid for that. However, she needed to transfer to maximize her time. The schedule was such that it was cutting into both her swimming and her academics. And we all made a collaborative decision for her to transfer back. And she also had, you know, other educational reasons, logistical reasons to attend a school closer to our home. But truly, for my daughter, swimming is a lifeline to her academic and holistic goals as a student. It teaches more than winning for her. Swimming has taught her time management. It's taught her how to be part of a team. Sportsmanship, balancing a sport with academics. At her charter school, she won an Athena Award for being both a strong student and a strong athlete. And this was at her charter school. They recognized her for that. So in short, to sit out her ninth grade year would have been absolutely devastating as a varsity swimmer. And making it incumbent upon her to fill out a waiver would have been unfairly restrictive. Choosing schools and the reasons we do so as parents are it's multifaceted. It's not just about athletics. It's about the social community of the student. It's about, you know, the size and location of the school, extracurricular activities, and imposing a sit-out for athletes who wish to return to our Minneapolis public schools is another impediment to attracting schools to our district. We're having a hard enough time getting students to come back and enjoy the strong academics that we do have in Minneapolis. We realize we have our issues there, but we're going to use every means we can to attract students back to the Minneapolis public schools. And coaches and professionals are free to move from their posts. They're free to move as they need to. Why would students be treated as school property and unable to move without a penalty? That's the hardest piece about this for me. Until students are full adults, I believe it's that adults in their lives have to create a level and ethical playing field and hold other adults to higher ground. If there's mismanagement, and we know there has been, it's the adults, not the students, who should be penalized. And ninth grade, studies have shown, is students' most formative year in addition to third grade. And it would seem that for athletics this would be true as well, that the ninth grade athletic year is a very important year for students. So the rule, I believe, would not stop recruiting. I don't think it's going to stop the these practices. I think it'll just move the recruiting to younger students in the 6th and 7th grade so that they start to feel the pressure. And that is why I'm supporting Representative Hillstrom's bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Hillstrom, how many more testifiers do you have?
I think there's only two more, Mr. Chair, okay. And they will be brief.
Okay, we want to move along here.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Sean Kirsch. I'm the Executive Director of the Citizens League.
Welcome, Sean.
The Citizens League is a nonpartisan, citizen-based public policy organization. For the past 25 years, we have strongly supported policies that provide students with public school options, choice, because we think it helps to match students with a school environment that best meets their academic needs and their capacities. As you've heard, this has been a strongly bipartisan effort in support of school equity, beginning with Governor Perpich in the 80s. We believe that public school choice helps to improve academic performance. We believe that active engagement and extracurricular activities motivate students to succeed in their academic endeavors. And we know that support for school choice is extremely high among the public in Minnesota. During a time when we were all aggressively trying to improve academic performance and motivation to succeed in high school, I urge you to avoid efforts that have the unintended consequences of weakening choice and therefore academic potential and our common good outcomes in Minnesota. I urge you to support House File 989, which corrects just such an error. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Hilson. Welcome, sir. Would you identify your name for the record?
Thank you. My name is Ralph Maves, and I'm a psychologist by profession, and I'm here today as an interested and concerned citizen.
Welcome.
Thank you. I would like to make three points with reference to House File 989 under consideration and also to the recent rule changes by the Minnesota State High School League. First, I think we all need to recognize the real problem we're dealing with. It's not students using open enrollment for extracurricular reasons. It is the emphasis we place in our society upon winning. Student transfers are only a symptom of the problem. This is not a problem the students have created. It's a problem we adults have created. The students are buying into the culture we've created, and I think the adults need to take ownership. Second, I worked in one school district for 35 years, and I've lived in a second school district for over 40 years. Both of these districts had one high school during that time. They went to two high schools, and they went back to one high school. When returning to one high school, the school size created at one high school was over 2,200 students, and at the second high school was over 2,700 students. These are large high schools. The Association of School Administrators in the past has indicated the optimum size for a high school approximates 1,000 students. Large high schools do many things. One of the things they do is limit extracurricular activities and participation. One large high school, as opposed to two or three smaller high schools, has a significantly smaller number of extracurricular opportunities for the students involved. Extracurricular activities are very important for many students. Second, large high schools are not the best environment for a number of students, academically, socially, or emotionally. This is why there's been a strong movement throughout the United States in recent years to create small high schools. It is my understanding that if schools were consolidated and a large high school was created, and if there were students in the newly created high school who did not want to stay in this larger environment, they would, under the new Minnesota State High School League rules, not be allowed to transfer to a smaller school without penalty if they engaged in extracurricular activities. And I guess I'm talking about sports because that's been kind of a moving target. It started out, I believe, as extracurricular activities. This would hardly appear to be in the best interest of the students involved. Whose interest would be served? I don't know. I can only speculate. Third and final point. I recently contacted a college in Minnesota to find out transfer rules there. It turned out to be a Division III college. This would include, I believe, colleges such as St. Olaf, Hamline, St. Thomas, and so forth. I was informed by the compliance officer that if a student were to transfer from one Division III college to another Division III college, providing the student's credits were up to speed, there would be no sitting out for time for sports participation. To me, I find this very interesting. We seem to be telling eighth graders that they better choose a high school well if they are engaged in extracurricular activities because once in high school, they will be there for 4 years if they do not want to sit out a year as a result of a transfer. However, we tell high school seniors not to fear if they are going to a Division III college, because if they in the future decide to make a change of colleges, providing us to another division school, preschool, they will be able to continue their extracurricular activities without missing a beat, providing they're earning the necessary credits. One would think it might be the other way around, that we would ask more of the senior in terms of decision making than we would of the 8th grade student. One has to wonder also why colleges have such a rule. Is it because a few students transfer schools? That's not been my observation. Is it because the colleges are less interested in winning? That too has not been my observation. Perhaps it's because the colleges believe that students' lives change, that things happen where it would be not in the best interest of the students to remain at that college. Perhaps the interest and welfare of the students are put first. In conclusion, I've been working here at the legislature for the past 8 years. In that time, I've attended many committee meetings where I've heard legislators say that when there's a conflict of interest, they are more prone to support the student interest than the adult interest. I believe that House File 989 is in the best interest of students, while the latest Minnesota State High School League rule changes appear to be in the best interest of adults. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just told that someone from the Minnesota PTA is also in support of the bill. Can she quickly come up?
Real quickly, we have the other testifiers. We'll run it out of time. Members, if it's okay, can we hold off on questions until after the testimony? That's okay.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Peggy Smith. I'm the state legislative chair for Minnesota PTA. And I just want to say that the Minnesota PTA supports the concept of open enrollment, and we support Section 1 of House File 989. On Section 2, we do not take a position.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. I guess we want to hear the opposition. Those here to testify would want to come forward. Welcome. Would you state your name for the record, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, my name is Roger Arnson. I do the legal and legislative work for the Minnesota State High School League.
I'm Dave Sedd, the director of the High School League.
Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I appreciate the opportunity to share some information with you. This issue became something that the league was concerned about in 1989, when open enrollment first became a concern as far as kids moving back and forth for athletic purposes. And to be honest, the recent change on behalf of the schools has nothing to do with open enrollment. It simply has to do with kids who move from one place to another, however they happen to get there. And so I think the open enrollment piece has probably been attached to the decision made by the schools because of all the movement that was taking place. And kids would use the term open enrollment as they openly enrolled to someplace else, different from what the legislature intended, I think, early on. So I don't believe that open enrollment is the issue. I don't think it has been the issue for the schools. Again, it's the transfer of kids from one school to another to play athletics, and in turn then displace someone who has lived in that community, grown up representing that community, and is looking forward to represent that particular school team. There's been some discussion as far as when kids transfer and what their eligibility piece would be. Three criteria come into play immediately. One, when a student moves as a ninth grader, they are immediately eligible wherever they live to whatever school they attend as a ninth grader, immediately eligible, regardless of whether they played or participated for another school prior to that time or not. Secondly, if parents move from one community to another, they are automatically eligible as well. And then the third one is that if the court goes in and takes a student out of a home for child protection reasons, then they would be eligible wherever the court places them as a student as well. So we've taken those pieces into consideration. I have talked with the superintendent from Brooklyn Center, and as we talked about the number of kids who are participating this year, it boils down to not 18 students who are open enrolled. It boils down to 5 students, he indicated to me, who actually would be on a waiver process. The waiver process is a pretty simple one. These are kids who have moved in other than during their ninth grade year. The school that they've moved from can fill out a form online. The school that receives them can fill out a form online. Information will be created then we have an immediate opportunity to evaluate the eligibility status of those students. That's a position our board of directors took on the 1st of February as they began to anticipate some changes as far as the transfer rule was concerned. So that piece is in place. Also, the local communities can make some determinations as far as how they want kids to transfer within their community. That's always been the case. I'm told in St. Paul that the St. Paul School Board has said whatever the high school league rule is the rule as far as our kids moving from one school to another from an eligibility standpoint. I'm not sure what it is in Minneapolis. I do know I talked with the folks at Osseo, and it was assured by them that as kids go through ninth grade, because of the desegregation they're in, whatever the district policies are would cause the kids to transfer from one place to another. And if that's their district policy, that's accepted. So I think there have been some misnomers that have been represented, which I think can be clarified pretty specifically by what happens as far as the actual movement of kids is concerned. The legislation as well, years ago, gave the league the responsibility to determine eligibility for kids who open enroll. Whether it's an open enrollees by the statute or whether it's simply kids who open enroll, that's what the member schools of the league have done. Last Friday, 48 representatives from throughout the state met to speak to the issue of open enrollment. I'm sorry, of transfer of students from one school district to another. There were some people who were, I know, in opposition, and the opportunity was made for them to testify in opposition, and there was no one who showed up to speak against it. The member schools, again, representing the entire state, voted 48-0 in favor of the change in the transfer rule. And so that I think this is overwhelmingly in favor of what the schools are saying they would like the rules to be as far as the movement of students from one place to another. Again, it's not a prohibition against any participation if they move. It's a prohibition against at the varsity level only. And there is a provision for kids who, should they choose to, have a better academic opportunity, which is what I think we're all about, to participate for 1 year back in their home school district where they actually live prior to the time that they transferred to another district where they don't live. So that provision is part of that as well, and we've contemplated that as this provision was put together. There's been some talk about recruiting that's gone on with the adults and how the adults are the ones who should be penalized. Interestingly enough, those aren't reports that we get. We hear anecdotally that those things take place, and I've been told by people specifically that their kids have been recruited. And when I've questioned them, I've said, why don't you report that to me? We don't know those things unless we hear about it. And the response was nothing. I got no response whatsoever on that. So trying to get that kind of information is extremely difficult. Once we do get the information investigated, and we've spent thousands of dollars in the past to investigate one particular incident that came from a particular school, and once the person who identified the specifics was asked by an outside lawyer who was hired, the person wouldn't respond to what he had put in writing earlier, and I won't speak to the school, but we do take those kinds of steps when possible. We're not the NCAA with millions of dollars to go through some investigatory steps on the part of reports that we get. But the schools do follow up on information that they hear, and we try our very best to follow up on that as well. And lastly, I just want to share that, again, this is not my decision. This is not the Board of Directors' decision. This is a decision that was made. This 48-0 vote was a decision made by the schools of member schools of the Minnesota High School League, public, non-public, charter, and home schools who are represented as members of the organization on how they would like the teams to be formed who compete against one another during the regular year as well as during the tournament season.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, Roger Arnson.
Would you repeat your name again?
Yes, Roger Arnson, Minnesota State High School League. A few things that I want to add to Mr. Stead's testimony. First of all, there's a significant constituency that exists in Minnesota public schools among parents, among coaches, among students, and among schools themselves for a change in our current eligibility rule. One of the things about the statute as it's constructed, you can see that 989 contains some language on it on 1.18 that says 128C.02 subdivision 5 is repealed. That particular provision is the legislative directive to the high school league to adopt rules regarding open enrollment. The suggestion that somehow we ventured out into waters where we were not supposed to be is incorrect. In fact, we've been told to adopt this rule. We have an existing rule that currently regulates open enrollment. The way that rule works is on the second transfer, there is a 50-50 sit-out. What we found, or at least what our constituencies told us, is that that sitting out half the season piece did not work, did not achieve the goal that folks wanted it to, and so as a result, this new rule was brought forward. Last year, when the K-12 bill crossed through the tax committee, there was an amendment by a Southern Minnesota legislator to, in fact, do what this rule does. And the reason that was proffered, it wasn't by us, we didn't have anything to do about it, but it is because people in his district have recognized this as a problem. That actually failed on a 10-10 tie vote. Representative Lincheski has introduced a bill this year as well that does a version of what this new rule does. Again, that comes not because we asked Representative Lincheski to introduce that. It's because constituents in her district have asked for that. There is room for two views on whether or not this rule should be adopted. And Representative Hillstrom and the bill actually offers one of those alternative views. It is not, however, the majority view out there in the school community. We had, and as you said, we introduced this, or set up this large committee that Bonnie McDonald was part of, and John Washington from Minneapolis, the athletic director, who's going to speak to you in a moment, is as well. Representative Demmer was on this. Representative Dietrich was invited to attend and was in and out as well. We had a deep concern about adopting this rule and talking about open enrollment. It is very important. No one suggests that it is not. However, you cannot ignore the fact that there are parents who have complained bitterly about the impact of students open enrolling solely for athletics. That's why we're here. Now remember, I told you we have an existing rule on this already. 989 would frankly go far beyond our existing rule. If you actually adopted this, if this became the law in Minnesota, students could open enroll multiple times in high school. There would be nothing to prohibit them from enrolling multiple times during the school year. I know that's not the proponents of 989's intention, but that is what the language as it is written would do. We've received significant comments from parents and emails from parents deeply appreciative of this rule. And obviously there's an alternative view, but I want to say a couple things.
Excuse me, Roger, could you kind of move forward here? We have some other testifiers on your behalf so we can get them all in.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chair, and I will. I want to make one thing very clear, and that's that we've worked a lot with Representative Hillstrom and worked with Senator Scheid on the other side as well. I think that work has actually improved where we're at with this right now. We think our rules should be put into place, but we have talked to the Osseos of the world and to other large districts. This does not interfere with attendance boundaries within school districts. It doesn't change what happens in Minneapolis or won't change what happens in Osseo as well. That's why you don't see them here, you know, complaining about this rule at this particular time. We think we've worked that out well here. And we have provided some information on that as well. We also have talked to folks about this, that we would change some of the certifications that our coaches do. Every coach and athletic director has to sign a certification annually that the students on their teams are eligible. We're going to change that certification as well to indicate that they have not engaged in any inappropriate recruiting. We can do this stuff very well. And I know you're short of time. That's why the league makes these rules. We need a lot of time to make them. We need a lot of input. We think we've done that and done our process well. Mr. Chairman, with that, we'd ask Mr. Washington to come forward and tell you a bit about the process.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome. Can you identify yourself for the record?
My name is John Washington. I'm the District Athletic Director for the Minneapolis Public Schools.
Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Chair. On behalf of the Minneapolis Public Schools, I was part of the commissioner's, State High School League's report that looked into the transfer rule for students that are moving because of athletic reasons. In looking at talking to our coaches and our administrators in Minneapolis, we will follow the State High School League's rule that governs students going from one school to the other. We do have students that move on multiple occasions because of whatever reason, parents moving. We have students that are moving because of athletic reasons as well. And we feel that this bill is fair and that it will curtail some of those students from moving for other reasons other than academics.
Thank you, sir. Do you have anyone else?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The officer would answer any questions.
Is there any members with any questions, comments? President Heiberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I have some very, very issues here when somebody starts meddling around with the State High School League. And I say that, Chair Dominguez, because I have been very involved in it all my life. I've directed 28 plays, one-act plays. I've directed three-act plays on a competitive nature. I've coached forensics for 23 years. I've judged the state speech tournament on occasion in regions, and the district is very competitive. It's just as competitive as wrestling. I coached wrestling for 28 years. And to see those kids come up, and I start kids wrestling. After I left public schools, I did it. I volunteered over to private school. 3 days a week, I went to private school for 5 years. I started a kids program over there, but there's a kids program with kindergarten kids and represent Detmer can identify with it. And I see these kids come up, and they're all fighting for a slot. And eventually, they get to be sophomores or juniors. They finally get to start. All of a sudden, somebody transfers in and takes their spot out. That's devastating. I've seen that happen in a small school. I've seen kids transfer out. They've gone to a wrestling camp where they met one guy that comes from a coach that generally wins state championships. I've seen some of my kids transfer out to another school to be on a state championship team. That's wrong. And I have got some, we've got a very good state high school league, even though I got a bone to pick with them last year. I tried to get boys softball started. And I think we need more activities within the state high school league. And I was outvoted, I guess, at some of the fall meetings. But at least try it. I really feel good that you brought it forth at the fall meetings and everything else. But among the delegate assembly folks, you have coaches that are members, former coaches, you have superintendents, you have school boards, and you have citizens. This is where you bring it. This is where you bring your discussions to the delegate assembly. They've got meetings throughout the year, and I think it's split up in eight regions. This is where you bring it up. This is where you bring your differences up, and not at the legislature. And I think this is doing injustice to a very, very fine organization that's been running for many, many years. And for us, at the legislative level, not to be taking all of the hearings they've had for the last couple of years they've been working on this issue, and for us to make the change, I have a great difficult time.
Thank you, Representative Hagerty. Is there any other representative? Writing with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to say that Representative Heiberkin, I don't think it's been, I know it's not been around here as long as I have, but there are many times that the high school league's rulings, since I've been here, have ended up in the legislature. And it's been my observation that that is because they're not vetted as with as broad of a base of a group as they would have if they were vetted at the legislature. When I was on the school board, I wouldn't have touched volunteering to be on the high school league for anything. The ones who do volunteer for that would be people like Representative Heiberkin, who are coaches and very steeped in athletics. I think the same could be said for a lot of people that end up on the delegate assembly, because we all congregate to things that we're very interested in. And I would submit then that is a little bit of a skewed group, because people who are really interested in athletics oftentimes, unfortunately, as the good psychologist mentioned, the adults are interested in winning, and we all kind of live through our kids and so forth. And I think that, you get really good coaches like Representative Detmer, and, you may cut into some of that. But I do think that they're off, and I'm sure Representative Heiberkin would have been that way, too. I once had a coach, our son had a coach, who played every single kid in every single position, and they never won a game, but all we parents were happy, because we got to see our kids shine in every, being the quarterback and everything else, but they never won.
you know, they were little kids. But to me, that's what, you know, sports is all about more than the winning. The winning is nice as well. But I think it's very appropriate to be here, you know, in the legislature. And so, Rep. Piper, for you and I can just agree to disagree on that. We have many things we agree upon. Mouth guards is one that comes to mind, you know, that we have put to rest. But it did come, you know, it didn't get vetted in a public balance arena. And as soon as it got here, it was quickly undone. What I'm really glad to hear Mr. Stead say is that they're going to look at a certification with the coaches where they have to verify that they haven't been doing any recruiting. You know, the high school league does have a rule on recruiting, but obviously they haven't been able to enforce it because people have wimped out when they put something in writing. And then they get asked by an attorney, and maybe they get a weak knee because they don't want to get involved. You know, we have a lot of looking away in our world. And so now I think the onus should be, however, on the coach. And so to ask them, have you been recruiting, I think is, you know, a lightning bolt to die. You know, I think it's something that should definitely be done because right now it's kind of like, drug dealing, where we're looking at not the peddler of the drugs, which would be the recruiter, but the drug user, which would be the students. And I think we should always have more severe penalties for those who are the infractors, not the vulnerable people who are being infracted against.
Thank you, Representative Hyde. Brighton. Is there any more? Representative Hyde.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, the bill that's going forth is going to do a... We have a problem, Representative Riley. And the bill that's going forth is not taking care of the problem. The State High School League's action has taken care of the problem. We're trying to take care of the problem. We just had a girls' championship with three transfers on it, taking the spot away from three other kids. If you want to become if you want me to become... I go back to coaching, and I go around, and I have conference championship loss. I can go out and recruit and by just winning. We will get students that will transfer in. But the problem right now is we need to address an issue, and I thought the state high school would be 48-0, and they've had hearings and everything else. I don't see them as a dictatorial group at all. There are a lot of people on that state high school league that were involved in speech. There are a lot of them that were involved in music. There are a lot of them involved in other activities as well. I know I just had someone from my region that was very successful to get on that didn't have any of their kids in sports. But there was a former co-op manager and made decisions all of their life with a couple hundred employees. But I think we have to be careful here.
Representative Enzo.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, I just want to make a couple of comments. One, it was personally really, really nice for me to hear comments made about Governor Perpich. However, I'm sure he didn't envision that 20 years later we would be struggling over 765 transfers to play athletics. I think his vision was more in line of, are there going to be enough desks in room 108 at Hibbing High School for kids from one school to transfer to Hibbing High School to get in on a class offered by the greatest physics teacher in northern Minnesota? I think he was more interested in academics, and that was his vision. However, we're in a situation where distilling it for me down as low as I can get it, it's about 765 young people who transferred ostensibly for athletic reasons in the 05-06 calendar year, school year. And it just seems to me that the state league with member school districts should be able to figure this out in the rulemaking process rather than to come to the legislature. However, without the rulemaking process in place, I think this legislation is absolutely necessary in order to fulfill the free movement of kids for whatever reason kids and parents decide should be their reason for transferring. And so therefore, I think Representative Hillstrom's legislation should be supported.
Thank you. Is there any, I want to move on, and is there anyone in the audience wish to testify real quickly? I'm only going to allow two people because we got short on time. Real quickly, please. You want to identify yourself?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tom Dolan. I was on the committee of citizens that drew up the report. I have a lot of things which I have compiled from other people, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, and I'm not sure if you're going to give me the time to talk about it. I can tell you about the workings of the committee. At the end of the second meeting, after the objections that were raised virtually nonstop, I was of the opinion that absolutely nothing would happen. Then the information came in from around the state, and it was just somebody had pulled down a shade. There was virtually no objection at the third meeting, and it passed virtually without comment, the rule that we are discussing. When faced with the overwhelming evidence of the wishes of the citizens of the state of Minnesota that we clean up the corruption of high school athletics, there was just simply no discussion. I can give you story after story, Mr. Chairman, that has been given to me accidentally from the private school coach in the metro area that named off one by one the starters on his team that could be playing for him that were now sitting on the bench for the New York Yankees. When I gave his name to Skip Peltier at the high school league, he immediately backtracked and refused to follow through. I accidentally bumped into a secretary that works in the Mountain View School District, and she went boom, 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 right down the list, told me all kinds of things about a certain school, and said they definitely recruit. Her relative was a secretary in the school, said absolutely no questions whatsoever, doesn't want her name used. And that's where Dave said is right. There are all kinds of these stories floating out. You could have done here with this bill, instead of the language on this bill, you could have said, we support open enrollment, but if you want to play athletics, you play at the school closest to your parents' legal house, and there'd be no discussion. What I am suggesting to you from personal opinion and the overwhelming opinion that I get from around the state and just going to the tournament and talking to people.
You want to please wrap up?
Okay. There's one set of words, Mr. Chairman, that I want ringing in everybody's head here. And I want you never to forget these words. This is coming from a mother from South St. Paul, legendary South St. Paul, with I don't know how many dozens of teams in the state hockey tournament. We asked her, why are you dropping down classifications, South St. Paul? And she looked me in the eye, Mr. Chairman, and said, we can't afford an all-star team. Her chin was out, defiant. She took those words out. We hadn't violated anything, but she wanted us to know we can't afford an all-star team. Please, don't forget those words that came from in here. She didn't know I was going to come and talk to you. If you pass this bill, we are going to be back here again, sir, without any question. We will be back here again and again and again and again. People are angry.
Thank you for your testimony.
Yes.
Representative, could you identify yourself for the record?
Representative Bob Detmer. I just wanted to share something real quickly. You know, originally I'd signed on to this bill, and being a new legislator, and I got into the state statute and started reading the state statute, and I understood that the State High School League is given the power by the state legislature to control and do the rules governing our state programs and our fine arts and our athletics. And after reading the state statute, I withdrew my name from the bill. But I'd like to just say just a little bit about my experiences, 34 years being a teacher and a coach, and I agree with Representative Heike-Griffin that at every section meeting that I've been attending over the years, this issue has come up with our coaches, and it's been discussed over and over again. And we need to, as the legislature, support the State High School League and their rules. We don't need to get into that business. We need to give them the power to control eligibility rules and so forth. So I support the Minnesota State High School League Policy 111.
Thank you, Representative. Now that there's no further comment, Representative Hillstrom.
Mr. Chair.
One quick question.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to speak in opposition to this. I know our school district is not supportive of this, and I think the high school league's been doing a really good job, and they're addressing the issues, and I think we should be allowing them to do their job.
Thank you, Representative McFarland. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The legislature granted the high school league their authority. The legislature retains its authority to oversee what they do. You saw last week we passed a bill off the House floor. The Senate passed a bill as well, a bill authored by Mary Liz Holberg, dealing with, again, a behavior of the Minnesota State High School League. So it is not unprecedented what we're talking about here. Mr. Dolan stated that there's corruption in sports. I am not disagreeing that there's a problem here. I'm disagreeing with who we're punishing. The rule that the Minnesota State High School League has adopted is punishing the children, and I am saying we ought to be focusing on the adults here. Thank you, and I encourage your support.
With further no more discussion, Representative Hillstrom, would you like? We will remove your motion. The House File 989 be passed and referred to K-12 Finance Division. All in favor of the motion?
Mr. Chair, I call for a roll call vote.
You have a roll call?
Okay.
The clerk will call the roll.
Dominguez?
Yes.
Enzo?
Yes.
Dabney? Lipstrom?
Yes.
Heike-Griffin?
No.
McFarland?
No.
It's on vote. It was 3-2. The motion does prevail. This bill is recommended to pass and be referred to K-12 Education Finance Division. Thank you. We have Hillstrom file number 2151. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2151 is another bill regarding the Minnesota State High School League. I understand that my first bill is controversial, and this would be another option. This would make the Minnesota State High School League subject to rulemaking authority for which all other rulemaking organizations or departments within the state of Minnesota fall under. And so this would encourage more public information and more public input in the beginning, and I would encourage members' support.
Do you have any testifiers?
I don't, Mr. Chair, because I think everyone that was in the room that was testifying on behalf of this, you've got a sense of what the arguments are here. This would keep things out of the Minnesota legislature and back into rulemaking authority under the rulemaking authority standards.
Thank you. Is there any questions? McFarland, Representative?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Hillstrom. What's the difference between the current procedure in 128C.03? In that actual statute, it does talk about a public hearing if it's requested by 100 or more parents.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative McFarland. I actually could pass out a copy of, I got something from House Research that talks about rulemaking authority. And basically what it does is it requires that there be a public hearing, and maybe Representative Briley actually could even help me talk about the rulemaking authority that the department has. And someone here is here from the department, or I thought was still here from the department, that could talk about what they do as well.
Representative Briley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'm not totally familiar with what the high school league does.
But I did used to chair the Administrative Rulemaking Subcommittee in the House under Representative Phyllis Kahn in Governmental Operations, and I would speak highly for the rulemaking authorities that all other agencies follow. And that would actually allay my concerns that I said earlier about the more distilled population. If you follow the rulemaking authority, then even people like myself would not be questioning anything that is done, because it would be the larger arena for people to pay it. There's a lot of notice requirements. It looks like Roger Aronson is going to be up here to say exactly how it changes. It also has accountability for rules with the rulemaking process with the administration, whereas in the high school league procedure, I don't believe they have anything to do with it. And I do think that that we just always have to make sure when we have rulemaking authority that's authorized by the state legislature, that there is there's public accountability for it, not just with the agency.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson?
Follow up on that?
Representative McFarland is next following.
Yes, I was wondering if we could ask our House research person to address the question I had.
Mr. Chairman, members, in 128C.03, there is a procedure that is spelled out in terms of how the league is supposed to adopt eligibility rules. There is a requirement similar to what's in the APA requiring that if 100 or more parents request a public hearing, it must be held, and it is held or conducted by an administrative law judge from the Office of Administrative Hearings, by a person who is hired under contract in the Office of Administrative Hearings, or by an independent hearing officer appointed by the commissioner from a list that the commissioner maintains for this purpose. It also says that at the conclusion of the hearing that parents requested, the person who conducts the hearing is required to write a report evaluating the extent to which the league has shown that the rule is needed and reasonable, and the legality of the proposed rule. I'm assuming that the legality refers to the technical aspects of the process. How this specifically differs from the APA, you may want to ask the league official.
Thank you. Representative Anfield?
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, I was just going to say that I don't know the history of why the state league would have been exempted from Chapter 14, but I can tell you from my experience, Chapter 14 works, it's open, it's public, and it has the potential to minimize controversy and conflict. And there certainly is controversy and conflict with regard to a lot of things that our state league has to confront. And therefore, I think this makes good sense.
We have a testifier. What's your...
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Roger Aronson. I'm the lobbyist and counselor for the Minnesota State High School League. We would strongly urge you not to adopt House File 2151 for a few reasons. First of all, we do have a procedure that we think works very well, and that it has substantial public input, has significant public input in this particular matter. No one has complained to you or in any of the hearings here that our process in any way was bad. People simply do not like the result. And frankly, there are some very powerful legislators that don't like the result, and that's how we come here. Our rule talks about 100 parents of students who are participating in athletics can request a public hearing with an ALJ and follow that process. This says 100 of anyone could do this. The Humphrey Institute employees could sign the petition, and we would end up running Administrative Procedures Act processes. Representative Greiling and I have been down this road before. This legislation was actually defeated 8 years ago, is my recollection. Time, there was a study done by the legislative auditor that indicated the cost of adopting a contested rule, that was 8 years ago, but the cost of adopting a contested rule was on average about $47,000. If you look at the language that's provided here in the new bill, this would subject anyone signed a petition, we'd have to readopt all of our rules. This bill has been fast-tracked down here. You might notice that it was introduced last Thursday. It zipped through four committees last Thursday in order to get down here. We think that this is intimately connected to the other one, the other bill that you just heard, 989, in an attempt to squeeze us or put pressure on us for adopting that other rule. We don't think you ought to do this. I might say this is a copy of our handbook. We make these available to everyone. It has the rules in here. And we have rules that govern everything from as important as open enrollment down to how many innings a high school 11th grader can pitch in a baseball game. This is complicated stuff. It works out very well in the process that we use, and we'd ask you not to change this. One other piece in response to Representative Anzell's question, the High School League is not a state agency. I mean, we're not the Department of Education. We're not the Department of Administration. We're a nonprofit, private corporation that is a membership group of public schools and private schools as well. We have about 550 member schools. Schools have a keen interest in keeping the league as independent as possible from politics. The governor appoints four of our board members to ensure that there is public representation. We do are subject to the open meeting law, and we are subject to the Government Data Practices Act. But the rest of our process and our membership and our rulemaking is intimately connected to schools. We think that's a good relationship. You don't have school districts coming forward and saying, adopt 2151. You don't have the School Board Association coming forward and saying, do this. You don't have the Coaches Association coming and saying, do this. There is no constituency for 2151. And the reason there is no constituency is because our process for the adoption of rules works. Mr. Chairman, I'd answer any questions you might have.
Representative Grinding.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Arnson is right. Mm-hmm. We have discussed the High School League a lot, and certainly I've been involved in these discussions. I would just say a couple things. One, the zipping through committees, you know, with our new committee structure, surely you know, Mr. Arnson, that all bills have to go through a lot of committees before they really get anywhere to be heard. So I think you... and you know that you have overstated that a bit. As far as the league being in the state statutes and being a nonprofit private corporation, one of the things that we discussed at one time, and the league was not at all interested in this, was taking the league out of state statutes. If they don't want to be involved and have the legislature always monkeying around with them, why not take them out of state statute and let it be a cooperative agreement with the schools? But, oh, no, they didn't want that. They want to be in state statute and have the benefit of making rules that have the authorization from the legislature to have the force of law and not just be cooperative with the schools and the sports and all separate from the legislature. And I would submit you cannot have it both ways. You cannot want the legislative authorization through being in our statutes and then also want us to butt out and leave things alone when we do hear from citizens, Mr. Arnson. This is not... because we didn't hear from anybody that we dreamed this up to discuss it here at the legislature. And second guess, the High School League. I'm going to give you now another example of another controversy that has crossed my desk. And I think we're going to hear about it in the news. It's another thing that should be discussed in the public administrative rulemaking authority as Representative Hilstrom has proposed in this bill with accountability from the governor. He should not either be disassociating from what is done through a quasi-agency. And this is it. I heard from a coach in a rural area that the high school league has decided to subtract 40% of 9th through 12th grade students who are free and reduced lunch from their 9 through 12 enrollment. Now, when I talked to Mr. Arnson about this, he had an explanation for this. It went through the rulemaking or however this was decided, and the reason for it was to try to have, he said, a school that had a larger enrollment really qualify as a smaller school in order to be able to participate and not have to compete with the larger schools if they had a lot of free and reduced lunch kids. Well, you know, that there may be a good motive for that, but if that rule had, and in fact, I think at the time he had me convinced that there was a good motive for it, but yet we at the legislature, once again, are hearing from coaches around the state, who are not my constituents, who are asking about this economic discrimination with kids who are on free and reduced lunch qualifications of not being counted in the enrollment for the school's eligibility. There are constant things like this. Long ago, Representative Kahn is on this bill. She will tell us in the lore of the legislature that the high school league, long before any of the players here who would not fall into this category, but there was a day, believe it or not, when the high school league did not want to implement Title IX. And so that's why Representative Kahn, who tells us this story, Mr. Stead is shaking his head, but that's part of her original interest in paying attention to what goes on here. So I just think that if we would, I don't know if Representative Hillstrom can pass her first bill or not on the full House floor, but I think we all should take a look at supporting the second one so that we don't have, if the processes that are being followed are so good and so similar, then why not just conform with the regular process, and then people like me and Representative Kahn and Representative Hillstrom won't have to second guess the high school league. We can be assured that the process was open and fair, just like every other rule. I don't know what there is to be afraid of if it's so similar. And Mr. Arnson, I would suggest if you talk to Representative Hillstrom, she would be willing to grandfather in current rules and have this go henceforth. And that would take care of your, what I thought was your largest concern here.
Thank you, Representative Gurney. Now, Representative Heinberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, again. And when I look at the House File 2151, it was my understanding that House bills had to be introduced by a certain date to get hearings. And I would have to, when I see a number that high, I'm wondering if it did qualify. But the big point here is, within the process, there's a lot of things that come up. And somebody had mentioned, or you had mentioned, the students on free and reduced lunch programs. Yes, there are programs out there in rural Minnesota. I have, for example, BBE. I have every fall, there's probably 100 students that come in from inner Mexico to work the fields. They're there for a couple months, they're counting their enrollment. And again, do they compete? No. At Melrose, we've got probably 250 Latinos that transferred in. And they're counted in the enrollment. And again, they will bring up the enrollment, and a lot of these students will not. And Melrose has done a very good job of getting a soccer program going and everything else, but it does take time. And each school district has individual problems, and they deal with them, and for the legislature to start dealing with what the high school league has been doing, I have some serious concerns. With that said, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Resident Heinberger. Is there any more questions? Because we only have a few more minutes. Is anyone for or against this bill? Hearing none, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I would encourage you to pass House File 2151. I then will stay out of the league's business if this becomes law. That's a promise.
Representative Hillstrom renews her motion that House File 2151 be passed and referred to K-12 Education Finance. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
The motion does prevail, and the bill is recommended to pass and be referred to K-12 Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Meeting adjourned.